The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Covington said it's Jorge Masvidal and him against the world.
Oh, dear friend, I know your secret, but I just can't keep it another night.
My best friend Jorge Masvidal taking over the welterweight division.
As soon as I won the interim title, that's when Jorge got jealous.
This dude's a punk.
I'm doing better than
this dude needs to slow down, man.
And he's just a jealous little.
He knows better than most of the I am.
Let's go, journeyman. You want to do something? Come do it.
Your day of judgment.
I can't wait to end you.
It's coming on.
Street Judas, we got unfinished business. You're next.
Fight night, Saturday night, part of an enormous lineup we have for you this weekend. We got hockey, Blackhawks, Flyers, 3 Eastern tomorrow on, or excuse me, Saturday on ABC. Then we got Carolina Duke, Coach K's last game. Should be unbelievable. Then we will be in L.A., the NBA Countdown crew will, for Warriors Lakers. We'll do that show from the court on ABC. And then the fight main card, UFC 272 from Vegas, starts 10 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Should be an unbelievable Saturday. But we have lots to do before we get to that. Another hour covering your way here of Get Up, live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I've got the squad ready to go. And here it comes. We are getting up with a terrific twosome. Philly welcoming Harden with plenty of brotherly love. Are they now the best team in the NBA? Meanwhile, they're talking and time's ticking. You will hear from Green Bay's coach in just moments as the era of Aaron hangs in the balance. And could this be the hometown kid right here that becomes the missing piece that finally pushes Buffalo over the top? Those are the questions. We'll have the answers as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the homecoming of the night. Game 3 for James Harden in Philly, but the first in his home arena, dressed for success, ready to go, and the fans were excited. Listen. Came to see a show and he put that on exactly. James Harden, Mr. Inside, taking it strong to the hole and it's good. James Harden, Mr. Outside, knocking down the patented three and it's good. He had 19 points in the first half. Now the Knicks had the lead into the third quarter of this game and that didn't last. It's Harden, it's Embiid. Look at the circus layup for Joel Embiid there. And he's also Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside. Look at Embiid spotting up and knocking it down. He would score 27. Sixers then would open up a can. Final minute of the third. This is Harden again. Yes, Philly up by 13. Fourth quarter, the lead is 10. Don't sleep on Tyrese Maxey. Does this team need a third member of a big three? That could be him. He had 25 in this game. Sixers up by 13. And there's Matisse Thybulle running the floor. Harden, 26 points, 9 boards, 9 assists. Sixers, 3-0 since they got him. So far, so good.
It was a movie, everything that I expected it to be. I think everybody in the world know how great these fans are, how passionate they are about these Sixers. It felt great to be out here, man. I try to get the jitters out early, but, I mean, it was fun out here. I'm just happy to came with the win.
All right, how's this going? Well, in a word, ridiculously well. The team is averaging 127 points a game since these two teamed up, and Harden and Embiid are now the first pair of teammates in NBA history to each score 25 points in their first 3 games together. Is this the best team in the sport right now? The answer might just be yes. So Harden's found himself a home. Aaron Rodgers, any minute now, may decide what his future home is going to be in the NFL. Everyone's still waiting on Rodgers to make a decision about his future. Yesterday at the Combine, Packers coach Matt LaFleur addressing the wait. Here's what he had to say.
You always want to be respectful because I know it's a lot to take on. He's got a lot to think about, and certainly I'm making sure that I consistently communicate with him, but also want to be respectful of his time and the process that he has to go through.
All right, so I mentioned that we are at the Combine. All of the NFL, or many of the NFL, I mean, you see it. Ryan Clark is there, Mike Tannenbaum is there, Dan Graziano is there, and Sacha with us as well. And so, Graz, you arrive there, and obviously you immediately start talking to anyone who will listen. What is the sense you are getting as far as people's expectation relative to Rodgers?
Anyone who will listen and some who won't, Greeny, that's... Look, I think there's a feeling, there's more optimism around the situation about Rodgers potentially staying in Green Bay than there was, say, a month ago, 2 months ago. I think there's a feeling that maybe his ideal landing spot, the team of his dreams, may not be out there, and that his best option is to remain in Green Bay. Certainly that is what the Packers hope. My understanding is they have not been told that. They're still waiting for an official answer from Aaron Rodgers, but optimism inside that building and a feeling outside that building that, you know, that it might be a year where they run it back again with Aaron Rodgers, sort of last dance part two kind of thing, if you want to go there.
Yes, it isn't. Of course, it isn't the last dance if there's another one, but the point is well taken, and we understand what you mean.
No.
So we're 5 days away from franchise tag deadline, by which time something will have happened with Devontae Adams, if it hasn't already happened with Rodgers. That's the next big hurdle, if you will, or the next big signpost in all of this. So, RC, with that thought in mind, what are your thoughts on the way this is playing out so far?
I mean, I think this is the way that Aaron Rodgers wanted it to play out. And I also feel that last season was the exact thing. When he got a seat at the table with GM Brian Gutekunst, this is what Aaron Rodgers was planning on. I think he's very methodical in the way that he's think. Aaron Rodgers is extremely intelligent, and I believe he wanted this opportunity. He wanted to be able to hold the team hostage. He wanted to understand that he held all the cards, and that's where he is. What is Green Bay going to do? What is Matt LaFleur going to do? Hey, Aaron, if you don't make a decision right now, I'm going to cut you. Do it then. Right? So that's what he's feeling. He understands that he's the two-time, he's the reigning two-time MVP. He's Aaron Rodgers, a first ballot, future Hall of Famer, and he knows that this team wants him under center this year. He knows that Jordan Love isn't ready to replace him, that Jordan Love hasn't shown that his time is now. And so Aaron Rodgers is saying, if I make the decision next Monday or if I make it down the line, it does not matter because I know you want me. I've proven that I should be here. You know there is no better option. And Aaron Rodgers is holding the team hostage that way. This is like on Five Heartbeats when Red had old boy hanging over the ledge. He was like, don't drop me, don't drop me, don't drop me. But the Green Bay Packers are sitting there looking up at him saying, you know what, please don't drop me, but more importantly, pull me up, let me back in the room, and let me get this contract. And so Aaron Rodgers right now is doing exactly what he wants to do, exactly what he's put himself in position to do, and Matt Floor is doing the only thing that he can do. He's hanging over the ledge with his suit coat over his face and his socks showing while Red, Aaron Rodgers, figures out if he's going to pull him up or not.
Well, Mike T, that used to be your job. So as you're dangling over that ledge, waiting to hear what Rodgers is going to do, how is this impacting the way the Packers and anybody else goes about their business?
You know, Greeny, I can't come within a million miles of RC's pop culture, but I do know what the word methodical means, and that's not what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers is not being methodical. He's being selfish because he's holding up the whole organization, and it's not right. You know what you're going to do. You probably knew since last October. Maybe Tom Clemens was outcome determinative and you knew 3 weeks ago, but right now the entire organization is being held hostage and it's not right. If you're going to be there, let them go execute the plan. We got to remember that the New Orleans Saints, the last 4 years with Drew Brees, RC, had the best record in the NFL. They pushed the cap charges out, which is great. If you're going to move on, what about guys like Randall Cobb, Billy Turner, Preston Smith? If they're going to be released, they better be released now so they can maximize their value in the market.
Do you know what you sound like right now, Mike Tannenbaum? You sound like a general manager. You sound like a guy that sits in those offices and
yes,
gets paid based off of how well the team does, and you want things to happen on your time. This is the new age, baby. This is now we got players running the thing. When you gave him his contract last year and when you gave him this position, this is what Brian Gutekunst said was okay with him, and Aaron Rodgers is taking advantage of
it. So, Mr. Rodgers, let me ask you a question. What in the world will you know on March 5th, 6th, or 7th that you don't know now?
You know what I think? You know what I truly think? That the only people that wake up every morning and think about Aaron Rodgers' decisions are the Green Bay Packers as a team and an organization and us. I don't believe Aaron Rodgers thinks about this every day. Yeah. I don't believe that Aaron Rodgers wakes up every morning and goes, you know what? Let me run through all the things that will get me back in Green Bay or bring me to another team. I think he wakes up. I think that he drinks scotch in the morning with his eggs and he chills. Yes, because he's Aaron Rodgers.
But, RC, that's the problem, because when you're the head of an organization and the leadership that comes with it, you have to be selfless, not selfish. And you should think about others. And if you want to be selfish, that's fine. Just say that's what
has Aaron Rodgers ever done that said he's not selfish? Aaron Rodgers ain't fooling us. This is not a trick. What Aaron Rodgers is doing right now is not a trick. Aaron Rodgers is not showing us something that we didn't believe. This is exactly what he did last offseason. You didn't expect him to do what he did last offseason, walk in with the shirt from the office, and then be a different man this year. This is who he is. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. What I'm saying is he was not fooling us. Aaron Rodgers has not told us a lie about who he is, about what position he wanted to be in, about the way that he wanted to make this decision. And he is doing that because he can. Teams always do things because they can, because they have the leverage, because they have the contract. Now all of a sudden it's flipped, and everybody in the world who's always had the power before now is pissed off about it. Aaron Rodgers is doing what great people get to do.
And my point is, the people he's impacting aren't you or me or the Packers. It's his teammates. It could be the Billy Turners, the Preston Smiths of the world, who they don't know what they're doing yet, and that's where I have a problem. It's you're in charge, Aaron, we get it, and the Packers will be fine one day, but those teammates could be losing meaningful dollars in the free agent market.
Let me get Sacho in on the conversation here, because it's a fascinating little divide that we have, and I'm sure people are looking on both sides of this thing. Sacho, how do you see it?
I see RC's point totally, and I also see where Aaron Rodgers is coming from. He went on his show, the Pat McAfee show, talking about, hey, this is more of a feel thing, right? So I don't think it's something where he's saying, okay, on this day I'm going to decide. I think he's going to feel it when the time is right. I do not think he's holding his teammates hostage, because it's not very often where a lot of guys get released way before free agency. Maybe it happens every now and again. We saw it with Kyle Rudolph. We saw it even when I was playing. I got released a couple days before free agency, but it's not an everyday occurrence. Aaron Rodgers might stay. He might wait and get Davante Adams paid, which is going to be a plus. He might come back. He might be able to restructure his contract and get all those guys we're talking about paid. The deadline of March 16th is there for a reason. The Packers know about that deadline. Aaron Rodgers knows about that deadline, and that's why deadlines are there, to make people make decisions. We are 13 days before the deadline. We don't need to worry about anything until then.
Okay, we'll see how that winds up playing out. Two things I want to do before we take a quick timeout. The first is, if it looked like RC and Mike Tannenbaum were addressing each other directly, it's because they are. Can you guys fist bump? Just show everyone how close together you actually are. I mean, we make it look like it's such a huge place. I mean, they are literally sitting right next to each other.
Uh-oh.
So I just think it's a little interesting behind-the-scenes note. The two guys are sitting on opposite ends of the same desk. The second thing that I think everyone will relate to is Andy Reid. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, the coach of the Chiefs was on SiriusXM talking about Matt Nagy joining his staff as the quarterback's coach, and here's what he said.
Back, I wasn't sure he wanted to do this. You know, after being a head coach, do you want to come back and coach a position? But he was fired up about it. And
Well, he's Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, right. So that
doesn't get any better than that. Doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I got this bum quarterback right here. His name's Mahomes. You want to come?
That's better than a jelly donut.
Better than a jelly donut. Leave it to Andy Reid to make that as the. But I'm going to make a controversial statement. I'm going to make my controversial statement of the day. Jelly donut, the worst of the donuts.
100%.
The least enjoyable donut. Ryan Clark, come on. The 100% worst of all possible donuts.
If you put a jelly donut in front of me, I'd rather not eat. Mm-hmm. I will starve rather than eat a jelly donut. Greeny, you are absolutely correct. And then they just make a mess everywhere, and they are not worth it. Greeny, for one time, we agree on food.
Sacho, jelly donut, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Huh.
Thumbs down. And my question is, what if you put it in front of Tom Brady? What will Tom Brady do with a jelly donut? That's what I want to know.
An avocado donut. Graziano, jelly donuts, yes or no?
Tom Brady could incinerate a jelly donut with his gaze. Like, he would look at the jelly donut and it would evaporate. They're fine. I like chocolate. That's my favorite. We talked about ice cream earlier in the show. I'd rather have ice cream, but jelly donut, I'm not kicking that out. Tannenbaum, that's fine. Anybody? Jelly donut.
I'm trading a jelly donut for a quarterback to be named later.
Okay, or a dessert to be named later, one way or the other. Now, speaking of trades, we put together a little something for you coming up. Have we got a deal in place where we're sending Christian McCaffrey that could put one Super Bowl contender over the top? We're making deals for these teams. And speaking of deals, what is Russell Wilson worth on the open market? What should GMs be willing to spend? And the one team that could pull it off? Answer those questions next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up with a new game we're going to call We Got a Deal. We're going to propose a trade, and Mike T, our general manager, you tell me if we've got a deal or not. The Bills trading for Christian McCaffrey, giving the Panthers their first-round pick, which is 25 overall. Deal or no deal? Tannenbaum.
Absolutely. Drop the paperwork, Greeny. Are you kidding me? You put Christian McCaffrey with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. Look out. They could get to the Super Bowl. Carolina's a little bit of a rebuild. Add another first-round pick. That is a win-win. Let's get that done, Greeny.
Okay, I like it. How about this next one here? The Falcons trading Calvin Ridley to New England for a 2 and a 4. Have we got a deal?
As Lee Corso would say, not so fast, my friends. Absolutely not. I'm Bill Belichick. I'll go get my own receivers. Calvin Ridley is talented. Obviously, he's had some bumps in the road. This draft is loaded with wide receivers. Let's get a rookie on a rookie contract. So, thanks, but no thanks.
Okay, I like it. Then finally, the Eagles getting Russell Wilson, giving the Seahawks 2 first-rounders in this draft, plus a second-rounder next year, and Jalen Hurts. Have we got a deal?
Yes, if you have to throw in the Liberty Bell or James Harden, by all means. If you have Russell Wilson, you have a chance to compete for a championship. You cannot overpay greatness. Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. He has at least 5 more great years. So whatever it takes, a cheesesteak, a Liberty Bell, a third-round pick, get the deal done.
Okay, so you like the idea of him in Philadelphia. I want everyone to hear what Pete Carroll had to say. Of course, the coach of the Seahawks and has been with Russell his entire career. He's at the Combine, and he was asked yesterday about Wilson's future with the Seahawks. Listen to this.
That's commonplace for us to have conversations with teams about all of the players, particularly marquee players, and that's not changed. It's been the same every year we've been here. So it's the same as it's been. We have no intention of making any move there, but the conversations, John has to feel those, he always has, but nothing specific to that.
No. I refuse to accept that. Ryan Clark, there's just no way in the world that it's commonplace to have conversations about your franchise quarterback if you're not considering. You think Green Bay, people called up Green Bay in years past, hey, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about Tom Brady. If someone calls up Kansas City, is it commonplace for Andy Reid and his jelly donut to be entertaining conversations about Patrick Mahomes? Because why not? That doesn't make any sense to me, RC.
No, Pete Carroll is telling a fib. I'm not going to call him a liar because that's rude. He is fibbing. He is telling a story, which is what my mama used to say when I thought people was lying. So last year, Russell Wilson comes out and gives you a wish list of teams he'd like to play for if traded, and then says, but I don't want to be traded. Now Pete Carroll is saying that it is commonplace for you to have conversations about all of the marquee players. That is also not true, and I know Mike Tannenbaum can attest to that. There are some players that are untouchable. There are some players that you will not move off of, but now Russell Wilson is no longer one of those players for the Seattle Seahawks. And if you're a GM here, if you're a head coach, coach here and Pete Carroll is willing to have the conversation and you're a quarterback hungry team, you sit down, you buy him a steak, you give him a glass of wine, you wine and dine him, and you see what you can get Russell Wilson for, and it seems that he's open to doing that. There's a different dialogue around the Seattle Seahawks and their quarterback than there has been for the last decade. And I think right now, if you're a team that wants to make that move, you have to make sure that the Seattle Seahawks know that you're serious. You put together a package that works for them. And I believe they will at least look at it and say, okay, where can we go as a team if we get these things? Because they're believing that their window with Russell Wilson is closing.
Yeah, again, Graziano is our reporter on the ground there. What sense do we've talked so much about Rodgers? What sense are you getting about people's expectation regarding the future of Russell Wilson?
I'll say this. The Seattle Seahawks are proceeding as if he's going to be their quarterback. They're not dealing with what-ifs in terms of that. I think the key thing here is we would have to hear from Russell Wilson that he wants out, right? He'd have to start talking like Aaron Rodgers or acting like Aaron Rodgers has for the last year plus, but he hasn't done that. And unless he tells the Seahawks he wants out, they're going to proceed as though he's their quarterback because that is their preference. One thing to watch here, he's got 2 years left on his contract. Obviously, as these things happen, the contract's been out there a while. He's no longer one of the top paid guys if he feels like he should be. The last time they did an extension with him, he had 2 years left on his previous contract. So if they do something contract-wise, then you'll know we have nothing to talk about here. But if they don't, and we hear any more rumblings from his end, like we heard last year, then yeah, I think you have to take it seriously. Teams are monitoring this in case it happens, because if it did, he would be in high demand.
Yeah, if they're monitoring his social media, they'll see that he has changed his Twitter avatar. We pointed that out the other day. It's no longer him in a Seahawks jersey. It doesn't have to mean anything, but it certainly might. So we then propose one final question here, and that is which team should be right now doing exactly what RC is talking about? Take the GM, go over to St. Elmo's and get a deal done over a steak. Graziano, which team needs to make a deal for Russell Wilson right now?
I think it's the team that plays here in Indianapolis, the Colts. I mean, that would be their fifth different starting quarterback in 5 years, but it would be the best of those five, and it would give them a chance, I think, to compete for and possibly win the Super Bowl. If Aaron Rodgers had announced his retirement yesterday, I'd say the Packers, but if he's going back there, obviously we can't say that, so I'm going to go with the Colts.
RC, who needs him? Who needs to get Russell?
I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins, and I know that they keep saying that Tua Tagovailoa is their quarterback. Do you know what I've learned? When you have to keep reiterating that somebody is your quarterback, they actually might not be your quarterback, and that's where the Miami Dolphins are. They're a team that has some capital that they can move off of. They have Jalen Waddle, who's a young superstar at the wide receiver position, and they have a defense that's turned the ball over under Brian Flores. And so now going forward, they should say, we want Russell Wilson over Tua.
Tannenbaum, how about you?
Let me take you behind the scenes, Greeny. I would take Kevin Colbert, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and say, hey, we're about 2,000 to 3,000 calories apart. Let's get over to St. Elmo's. Let's get some shrimp cocktail on the table. And let me tell you, Kevin, you got a championship head coach. You got a championship defense. And I'm going to give you a championship quarterback. And let's get this done before the steak's at the table.
I like all of these, to be completely honest with you. I picked Miami because they're the one team that has the quarterback to trade back. They could trade Tua in return, and maybe that would appeal to Seattle, but we will see. We'll get RC's IFB fixed, and we will roll along here in just a moment. I'll get up. We're having some fun with the crew in Indianapolis today. Another quarterback situation. Kyler Murray may not be very popular with the Cardinals right now after some strong comments from an unlikely but important critic. We'll tell you why Murray should be paying close attention next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up and the homecoming of the night last night. We opened the show with this, but if you're just joining us, James Harden dressed for success and doing it on the floor. His home debut as a Sixer went just about the way his first two road games did. He and Joel Embiid looking ridiculously comfortable. Embiid has never looked quite so open inside and outside, and Harden showing you the entire bag of tricks. They knock off the Knicks for the second time in just the last few days, so they go to 3-0 since bringing these two together. Harden finishing with 26 points, 9 boards, 9 assists. Sixers win big, 123-108. Meanwhile, great game in the Eastern Conference. Heat and the Bucks could easily be a preview of a playoff series. You got Jimmy Butler, you got Giannis, you got fourth quarter. Heat are up by 2. Tyler is the hero, knocks down the 17-foot jumper. He had 30 off the bench. Heat by 4, less than 20 seconds to go. Still a 4-point game, but wait. Bucks, steal, bucket. Chris Middleton for 3. It's a 1-point game. Heat call a timeout. 13 seconds left. Heat looking to inbound. They're going to get it to Jimmy Butler. Someone explain how this is not a foul. He gets hit like 6 times, and what they call is a jump ball. Eric Spoelstra can't believe it. So now, here comes the jump ball. Milwaukee wins it. 8 seconds left. 7 seconds. 6. 5. Drew Holiday going to take it all the way to the cup, and he gets it to go with 2 seconds remaining. Miami doesn't have a timeout, and they don't have anything better to do with it than this. They just get it in, and that's a desperation heave, and that's all she wrote. The Bucks win it, coming from way behind, 120 to 119, and that win now has the top of the East just bunched up. Look at the Eastern Conference. Top 4 teams separated by just 3 games. The Nets, of course, have slipped all the way down to 8th, but they're going to get Kevin Durant back tonight. They were in first place when he went out in the middle of January, so the East is absolutely packed. All right, next, back to the NFL. The drama in Arizona. Kyler Murray's agent has let it be known this week via social media his client wants a new deal, and he wasn't subtle about it. But yesterday, the Cardinals did give contract extensions to their general manager, Steve Keim, and their head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. But that wasn't the most interesting development on the Kyler Murray front yesterday. Larry Fitzgerald's father, and it should be reminded, Larry Fitzgerald's dad is a longtime sports writer, a very respected voice. He ripped Kyler Murray on Twitter, said he's spoiled, brings his Oklahoma offense to the NFL team, has to catch up, great talent. He's never been humbled. Keep working. So he's got some stuff to say about Kyler Murray. And look, this is a year in which we have seen, I see the look on Graziano's face. It's a year in which we've seen, you know, high-profile players' dads make a big difference going back to Odell Beckham and everything else. So Ryan Clark, when Larry Fitzgerald's dad is saying stuff like that, what does it make you think?
That he has a feeling and that he shared his feeling. And as a dad of someone who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, I think he can understand it more than most. When dealing with RG3, who is now our colleague, we had to get on a phone call when I was signed to the Washington, at that time it was a different name, to the Washington Commanders. And he said, you said some things about my father that I didn't like. And it was a very long text message, and I don't do long text messages with people I'm not married to. And so I said, I'm going to give you a call. I called him and I said, look, here was my feeling. What I said about him is, it is very tough to lead a locker room of fathers when your father is always hanging over you. And we've seen, and I know Kyler Murray, and in a day and age where so many black fathers aren't seen as present, aren't seen as there, I don't want to say anything negative about the way he parents. But he's one of those fathers that is very involved in his son's career. He was obviously very involved in getting him here. He's a father that wants to see his son do well, but also wants to see it happen his way. And I do believe that that plays a part in some of Kyler Murray's immaturity. When you don't have an opportunity to be your own man, when you don't have an opportunity to make a lot of your own decisions in many cases, it doesn't bode well as to what you can be inside locker rooms and on sidelines during football games. And I think that this offseason is just a sign of Kyler Murray's immaturity. And I think some of that immaturity is based on the way that he's grown up, based on the way that his corner leads him. And I think that we're seeing these things play out publicly, and that's why it's a little tough to swallow for a father like Larry Fitzgerald Sr.
That's a fascinating perspective and one I had not considered. Sacho, you have connections there to the Arizona situation and you know, having been on that team and all that, you know, there may not be a more respected player in pro football than Larry Fitzgerald, meaning the you know, the future Hall of Fame, Larry Fitzgerald. So when I hear his father chiming in on it, you sort of connect those two together as well. What is your perspective on all of this with Kyler right now?
Well, what I would say is that Larry Fitzgerald Sr. doesn't speak for Larry Fitzgerald Jr., meaning Larry Fitzgerald's dad doesn't speak for him. I played for the Cardinals for 4 years, right? We all know that Larry Fitzgerald Sr. has been in the media for much, much longer than even Fitz has been playing in the NFL. And so he has his opinions, as RC says, but that does not mean that those are Larry Fitzgerald's opinions, number one. Number two, Larry Fitzgerald is no longer on the team. And so we should separate the opinions right now from the team, because right now, Fitz is not the one catching passes from Kyler. He's not the one playing with Kyler. Fitz is living his life on the golf course, having fun, doing his thing. And so that's kind of point number one. And then I'll end with this. I think the Kyler situation, I find it interesting how we talk about Kyler, we talk about Cliff. Oftentimes, we saw Cliff Kingsbury get rewarded. Well, both Kyler and Cliff have the same agent. So I'm wondering, okay, who's really winning right now? Is Kyler winning? Is Cliff Kingsbury winning? Or is the agent who represents both of them winning? Those are the questions that I have as I sit and watch this from afar.
Well, the agent who's the one who put out that lengthy statement on behalf of Kyler the other day, you just pointed it out, also represents the head coach. So, Mike T., from your perspective, and the GM there also got the contract extension, but how, if at all, does that factor into all this?
Yeah, I thought Cliff Kingsbury missed a massive opportunity to show leadership, because the way Kyler Murray's agent handled it for Kyler Murray was completely unacceptable. You've been contract extension eligible for about 10 minutes. You want to get through the offseason, the draft, free agency. You want to improve the team. There's a time and a place. We can have discourse. We can have disagreements, Greeny. It's going to be behind closed doors. If I was the Cardinals, I would tell Eric Burkhardt, if you even breathe on social media, this deal is off the table. You can play this year. Next year, we'll franchise you the year after. There's a time and place to handle our business. And Cliff Kingsbury, as a head coach who just got an extension and as a steward of the franchise, he should have said that as well, because everyone's going to watch how this situation plays out. And the other point, I think RC brings up some really interesting insight into Kyler Murray's leadership. I would want to know this, Greeny. I would want to know from Kyler Murray if he believes or perceives he needs to improve his leadership. Because when you pay a quarterback $40 million a year or more, which is what he'll get, he has to be a guy that can lead your franchise and draw other people there for them to be successful.
Yeah, there's so much to this. Dan Graziano, I've pointed out many times on this and any other show, I don't believe in coincidences. And so the idea that all this is in the air right now with Kyler Murray, and then it feels like a day later, they extend the contracts of the coach and the general manager. What reaction are you hearing from all the people you're talking to there in Indy?
Yeah, look, I mean, certainly the timing of the announcement of the Kime and Kingsbury extensions is interesting to a lot of people. These deals tend to get done before they're announced. So the fact that they were announced yesterday, the week that Eric Burkhardt, the agent, came out with that statement saying he wanted a long-term deal for Kyler Murray is probably a statement by the Cardinals saying, hey, look, we're behind our guys. We're behind our leadership. It seems pretty clear at this point that there are things that Kyler Murray does slash doesn't do that aggravate the Arizona Cardinals, right? We have Mortensen's report from Super Bowl Sunday. I know that Sacho said Larry Fitzgerald Sr. doesn't speak for Junior, but I don't think it's wrong to assume that at least part of Senior's insight comes from his son, who has been in the locker room and been a teammate of this player. So I think the Cardinals will end up signing him, but right now it seems they're trying to send messages to him via outside means of saying, we want you to do some things differently if we're going to commit long term.
You know what, Julian, our producer, let's just stay here on this thing a minute. Sacha, you seem to disagree with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Well, I played for the Cardinals for 4 years. It was my first team that I was on in the NFL, and Fitz was a friend of mine, mentor, all those kinds of things. And I've seen his dad speak in the media, and Fitz didn't necessarily always like it, right? And so I'm not here to speak on behalf of him, but I do know that everyone is entitled to their own opinion. And so if you're in the media or whatever, if you're on social media, bump the media, social media, people have their opinion. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go and have an opinion about Kyler Murray. You don't have to be in the locker room and, hey, what did you hear? What did you see? Fitz was not in the locker room this year. Mind you, he was there the year before. So I get that. So, Graz, I totally see where you're coming from. But I also just want to point out that this is a two-way street. We're putting all this focus on Kyler Murray, yet Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the team, the guy you brought to help help win games, not tank at the end of the season, he should hold some type of responsibility as well. Not just this hype up and new contract and extension until 2027. There needs to be some onus on Kingsbury as well and asking him, hey, what do we need to do to get better? The same questions that Mike T would ask Kyler, ask those questions to the coach, because I feel like the coach should be helping develop the player and the entire team.
Yeah, that is an interesting. Go ahead, Graziano. I can tell you want to jump back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, look, what I said was, here's what we know, right? There are some issues between team and player here, right? What they are specifically, you know, we can get dribs and drabs of it and find out through reporting. I agree with you, though, Sacho, that it's not fair, right, for the team to be doing this to Kyler Murray, right? Like, if you want to send a message, you know, you have his phone number, right? So I think that the extent that this is leaking out, I don't think it's exactly fair to the player or the situation. So I see where you're coming from as well.
Yeah, there's two-way streets involved in all this stuff, Mike T, because I mean, a lot of this began, at least publicly, when Kyler Murray scrubbed the Cardinals from his social media, which is a very 2022 way of making a passive-aggressive statement about your unhappiness with the situation. Mike T, go.
Right, but this is going to be a marriage of convenience, which is, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, you're not going to get a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. He'd be the first player in this year's draft, next year's draft. With that said, Greeny, it's so important that if he's going to be the centerpiece of this franchise, when you look at recent successes of Tampa Bay, the Rams, even Green Bay, those players care deeply about one another. There's a real aura of association. Kyler Murray needs to take the next step in his career, not from just on the field, but off the field. And I agree with Sacho, that's part of Cliff Kingsbury's job responsibility, is to help to develop Kyler Murray into that leader. Because, again, when you're paying guys so much of the cap, they're going to have to bring guys in on one-year deals, and they're going to have to feel like, hey, if I go to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, they could take me to where I want to go.
RC, put a final thought on it.
The big thing is this. They need to handle this thing like adults. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, you aren't going to get a better quarterback than Kyler Murray. You need to sit in a room and say, Kyler, what do you need from us to feel like you're supported here? And Kyler Murray also has to listen to the leadership and understand how they want him to be a leader, what type of player they need him to be, and the way he needs to conduct himself as QB1 of the Arizona Cardinals. This is not supposed to be played out for all of us to see. He's a young quarterback. He does have a lot to learn. And as an organization, you need to understand that. But Kyler Murray also has to hold himself accountable, too, as a franchise quarterback, as a guy that is the face of the Arizona Cardinals. There are certain ways to conduct yourself. But as an organization, you have to get right from a business standpoint and professionalism standpoint as well, and not leak things that put a negative light on your young QB.
All right, let me leave it there for the moment. This is a story that I think continues to get more and more interesting each time we discuss it, about what's happening out there in the desert. Meanwhile, we got a great day coming your way on Saturday. Don't miss this. First, we got hockey on ABC. We got the Blackhawks and the Flyers at 3 Eastern. Then we got Carolina Duke, which will be Coach K's last home game on ESPN. Our NBA countdown crew will be on the court in L.A. for Warriors-Lakers primetime on Saturday night on ABC. And then the main card at UFC 272 from Vegas starts at 10 Eastern on ESPN, plus pay-per-view. Spectacular action coming your way on Saturday. Now, we know his QB retired, but is Gronk hung him up as well? If he hasn't, there's one team who wants him, and the fit could be perfect. We'll tell you what it is next. We are back on Get Up with news out of Miami. Yesterday, the Dolphins general manager Chris Greer said the door is shut on Deshaun Watson joining the Dolphins, which is interesting. There had been some speculation along those lines. He was then asked if their current quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, can become an elite player, and he said, quote, I can't say he can't be. It's too early. Huh. I can't say he can't be. It's too early. So I just continue reading that over and over again, and because I just find it a fascinating way to go about, I can't say he can't be. Dan Graziano, I mean, there's a lot of negatives in there, and what do we make of him saying, I can't say he can't be?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, it's a little different from a coach saying that the quarterback's better than a jelly donut. It's a little bit – look, I mean – I think you have Chris Greer being honest, right? Like we drafted him fifth overall. We obviously think he's got the ability to do this, but we recognize that, you know, he hasn't proven it yet. He hasn't shown the ability to be that guy consistently. And certainly the Dolphins hope that he can be and want to put pieces around him to give him the best possible chance to do that. But yeah, I think this is Chris Greer just sort of saying, yeah, I mean, it's what you see. Like we believe he can be, but I'm not willing to go there yet and say absolutely because he hasn't shown it.
RC, can he be?
You know what? I think he has some of the requisite tools to be a very good quarterback. I don't see Tua Tagovailoa as having what it takes to be an elite quarterback. And now, elite is subjective, right? Does that mean top five? Does that mean top six? Does that mean a Pro Bowl or all pro player? So it all depends on what people think. But I don't believe that Tua Tagovailoa becomes a premier quarterback in this league. Can you surround him with the correct things or with the right pieces around him and win football games? I absolutely believe that because we've seen Tua Tagovailoa do that already. But is he ever going to be in the conversation of who has Tua Tagovailoa as a quarterback has a chance to win a Super Bowl? Absolutely not. I can say that, unlike Chris Greer.
Yeah, and look, here's the deal. Sacho, it is unfair for anyone to hold against Tua Tagovailoa the fact that he was drafted ahead of Justin Herbert. But it isn't unfair to point that out to Chris Greer. Right? I mean, that's a decision that was made by someone, and he's that someone. So that's why this becomes kind of a tricky little path he has to walk on that. What do you think of it, Sacho?
It's not a tricky little path that he's walking on. No, I'm kidding. I think in all reality that we will see. You have a brand new head coach who believes in Tua, who has an offensive mind, who says, I like this guy. And so I think what we're going to see is this new coach with this new mindset, with this new system, that's going to see what Tua can do. And then who knows, maybe this great coach can help unlock some of the greatness that we see in Tua. When you start talking about coaches unlocking greatness in their players, when you start talking about what coaches are hired to do and making players great, maybe McDaniel can do that.
All right, so Mike T, they've taken themselves out of the Deshaun Watson conversation. Should they be in the Russell Wilson conversation? Should the Dolphins be trying to upgrade the quarterback position?
Yes, but not through trading for Russell Wilson, because you bring in Mike McDaniel, who has a great track record, as Sasha just said, of unlocking players' potential. So I would look to draft somebody else. So if it doesn't work out with Tua short term, hopefully they have somebody in the building long term that they're developing that could eventually replace him. But I don't think going after Russell Wilson makes sense when you're saying, hey, we still believe in Tua. So give him another year, fresh set of eyes, new coach, and see where that goes, and then reevaluate at the end of the season.
Okay, we'll see where that does take us. In the meantime, sneaky big news from that very same division. This time it takes us to Buffalo. According to The Athletic, the Bills want to add to their tight end ranks by adding local guy Rob Gronkowski. He grew up in Amherst, which is about 20 minutes outside of Orchard Park. So the hometown kid coming back and finishing his career in a division where he dominated for so long for a team that he grew up following. RC, you're a safety. What would Rob Gronkowski be on that offense right now with the Bills?
I think the one thing we've seen with the Buffalo Bills is that they've used the tight ends that they have very, you know, very smartly, very intelligently. These guys make plays in the red zone. They've made huge plays for Josh Allen when we see him improvising and scrambling out of the pocket. And Rob Gronkowski, at least throughout his career, to me, has been the best all-around tight end that I've seen in this era, whether it's blocking, making catches with inside the numbers, or making huge catches in the red zone. I think this would add to their team. It's not the type of transaction or is not the type of acquisition that it would have been 5 years ago, but Rob Gronkowski can still be a solid piece to a team's passing or running attack and would definitely make the Buffalo Bills a better offense.
How do you like it, Sacho?
Oh, I love it, but not necessarily all for Josh Allen. I love it for Dawson Knox, one of the young tight ends that RC was just alluding to. Dawson Knox, every time he touches the ball, you get really, really excited. He runs people over. He makes one-handed catches. He's a star, and he's an upcoming star for Buffalo. So now you pair the 32-year-old Rob Gronkowski, who has all the tricks of the trade, who can teach him a thing or two about playing tight end. So I love it for that reason. Yes, it's going to help Buffalo Bills' entire offense, but Rob Gronkowski can also help develop some of the younger players.
And thank you to Mike T, because my understanding is that you are sending reporters out into the field, Mike T, to try and get information on this. What's happening here?
Greeny takes a village. That's my daughter, Ella, on the right there. That's Gronk in the middle, if you can't tell, and her friend Jordana. So Saturday on the mean streets of Boca Raton, trying to get the in-depth breaking news that Gronk wants to go to Buffalo. So she was trumping Schefter there. And I would say this in all seriousness, Greeny, could you imagine him with Dawson Knox, the emerging Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs? You go to that two tight end package, they are going to be really hard to defend. This is a no-brainer. Gronk brings so much to the table.
Load it up, right? I mean, Graziano, if there's one thing we've seen, championship teams lately, they load it up with good players, and it sounds to me like it makes sense. What do you think?
Yeah, well, targeted moves, right? Like you're thinking about what the Rams did, and this would be in keeping with that. It would be a Von Miller kind of move, an Odell Beckham kind of move, right? We're already good. We're good enough to make the Super Bowl and win it, we believe. But here's a guy that can add something that, you know, a regular old tight end can't. I'm a little surprised Mike Tannenbaum didn't use one of his favorite terms just now, which is force multiplier. There are a number of different ways in which Rob Gronkowski can make a team better, and I think if you're Buffalo, look, they've thought about this for a long time there because of his local connection, because of how much he has absolutely destroyed them over the years as a member of the New England Patriots. So this is not a new idea for Buffalo, but it is a fun one.
All right, we'll see if they can get it done. We'll see if Gronk has another season in him without Tom Brady. As we continue here, we've got more to do, and then First Take takes over top of the hour. The Sixers perfect so far with Harden and Embiid. How worried should everybody else be? They're talking about it. Stephen A., Molly, J. Will and company. First Take, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tonight, our ESPN Hockey Night matchup has the Bruins continuing their West Coast road trip in Las Vegas against the Golden Knights. Coverage begins 9 Eastern. That's tonight on ESPN. And as we wrap up, and thank you for getting up with us today and get set for First Take to take over, I just want everyone to get a sense of just how close together these three guys are. TV can make a lot of things look like a lot of things.
I know
director Cindy is the best. And so it made it look like these guys, like we had the combine covered in Indianapolis. The truth is, they're all like within putter distance of each other. Awesome work, guys. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.